Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Dawn, and today Joe is not available. Oh, no. Joe, we miss you. We want to see you. We want to see you. We want to hear from you. It's very important that you find us. Anyway, Joe is not available, so we will be doing this podcast together with Pastor Jen. But before we get to Pastor Jen, I just want to let you know that we're in season 4. This is podcast number 11. And you can find us on plantationsda.tv. You can also find us at plantationsda.com. Also, you can find us on all the podcast channels. Whatever it is that you use, you will be able to find us on Deeper Dive. Anyway, so before we get started, I'd just like to introduce somebody else who just so happened to be here. And that is the extraordinary Miss Cassandra. Hi, Miss Cassandra, how are you?
Hey, Dawn. Hey, Pastor Jen. I know Joey's not here, but you would have called her PJ. Hey, PJ.
Yes.
Hey.
But you know what? We have to get it right because now she's huge now. Not huge.
She's huge now.
But she's the women's ministry director for the Florida Conference. She's amazing. We are so proud of PJ, but we'll talk later.
So, as you have already realized, our last time to talk to our pastor, Pastor Jennifer Hernandez, is Pastor PJ. Welcome, welcome for the last time.
I hope it's not the last time, actually. It's the last time as your pastor at Plantation.
Yes.
But I'm certainly going to be preaching every so often, etc. So it's not the last.
Oh, very good. Very good. Nice to know. All right. So before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity just to not only talk about you, but also to see how you have led in the lives of all of us, especially Pastor Jen. And I ask now, Lord, that as we go through with her for the last time as our pastor, that you'll just guide our conversation and help us just to always glorify your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Miss Cassandra, it's over to you.
Well, I am here tonight to say goodbye. I can't believe I'm saying those words.
Again.
You know, I only come on when I have to say goodbye. So it's so sad. It's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. Pastor Jen has been with Plantation for almost 4.5 years.
Almost five.
We started this podcast 4 years ago, I think, in 2019. And Pastor Jen was at Plantation. She was our associate pastor already. She was one of the two associate pastors when she started. So officially, she's been the one who's been, I mean, as a not, you know, one of the guests who's been on the podcast for the long. I mean, she's been there. Yes. This is your last time on the podcast officially as our associate pastor. So it's bittersweet. Because as we all know, Pastor Jen has been promoted. She has a new calling to be the Women's Ministry Leader for the Florida Conference. So she's leaving Plantation. She's going to be moving to Orlando, Florida soon to lead this ministry. And we are excited. We're going to miss you, Pastor Jen. I mean,
likewise.
We love that Plantation. You are family. You and the boys and your husband, we just love you. I think you've been great. And for those of you who only listen, you know, don't come to Plantation, you may be someone else listening. I wish you had known her in person. She's a loving person. She's very warm. She engages people very well, right? And I think her ministry is to help people. That's what Pastor Jen does. She's like, she helps. She's a servant, actually. She's a servant. Mm-hmm. If there's anybody in needs, Pastor Jen will be there. Anybody needs to be fed, she will be there. Anybody needs to, needs me to pray, so she'll go. So that's what she does. She's good at that. She's good at reaching out to people and making them feel good, feel comfortable, and, you know, like sharing love, sharing Jesus. So that's what she does. And I know she was preaching at Plantation the last time as the associate pastor. And I know you said in your sermon, you wanted to be epic in your sermon. And I came home and I told Edward, wow, that was a great story. I'm like, I think Pastor Jen saved the best for last. That was a good sermon.
She did.
And Edward, my husband, that you guys know, right? His answer was, well, so that she saved the best for last. It's only it's because she's ready. It's the beginning that you are ready to be the, yes, you are ready because you will be doing that a whole, that's just the beginning. The best that you say for, like, no, it's not the last. She's ready now to be the woman's ministry leader. And you're going to be good at this ministry to reach other women and to make disciples for Christ, you know, by sharing his love. And I think you are a loving person. And we love you, your passion, your family. We're going to miss you. And I'm not going to cry because I'm going to see you. You will be back, I'm sure, preaching in that capacity. You will be coming to Plantation, I'm sure, to preach in your new position. But we could not be happier for you. We could not be proud. You know, we are so proud of you. I know. And one of your... I think different people need, you know, different things, right? Student preachers, there are those, like, I love teachers, for instance, those preachers like class, you know, like those, there are people who love, some people love people who like have the theatrical side, you know, like there are different types of preachers. I think your strength as a preacher is that you open yourself and you are vulnerable. And I think we need that. People need that. Somebody needs that, right? Because we can relate to you, right? Because oftentimes, as somebody like myself who go about the church, I think being a Christian means to be perfect, right? To be perfect. And then sometimes, you know, we've all seen and you've done those bad things as a young person, even as an adult, you know, adult sometimes. And you can be ashamed of yourself and you ask yourself, oh my God. But as the pastor, you came to Plantation, you were so vulnerable, right? Because, you know, because to share yourself like that, you made yourself vulnerable. But somebody needs to hear that. Somebody needs to hear your story so that person can understand that, you know what, no matter what I may have done, Jesus loves me. And I think you were able to do just that perfectly, to share yourself, to bring people closer to God. So my prayer for you is that you continue to be yourself, right? Don't change. Don't change. I know some people want you to be like the pastor, be like person. No, I think being that down-to-earth woman that we can all relate to, you know, is one of your greatest strength. And I'll be praying that God bless you in your ministry, that you, and you know what? Pastor Mike prayed for you at church and he said, this is not your final stop, right? This is not your final stop. The sky is your limit. So God bless. We'll miss you. You impacted our church. You affected change for many people at Plantation. And I pray that you will allow God to continue to use you so you can continue to affect change for God's kingdom.
Amen.
Cassandra, I thought my final tears were on Saturday. What are you doing, girl?
I'm done. But it's not, I will see you again. You know, I'll be calling you after this. But I'm excited.
Thank you.
But not always, I'm always happy for people going to bigger, better things. But because we know your story so well, and it's like, we feel like we're all in this, right? We're like, oh my God, that's Jen. So, yes. Yeah. So God bless, Pastor Jen.
Thank you so much.
Back to you, Dawn.
All right. Okay, so Colin, we're ready for you.
So we have Colin who's going one to join us now. Colin,
before me,
also say his last word.
Do I need tissue? Hold up. Wait.
No. You're good, PJ. Sorry, I wasn't in South Florida for your finale. But we were watching online.
Yep.
No, and you were, man. You created that awesome video that had me even crying before I started. So
that video was so good.
Yeah, that's Lyndon provided the footage and I just put it together.
I think it was Zachy holding the Bible.
That was That was good teamwork right there.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But it was, yeah, when I was putting that video together, it really reflected all the years that we had you at Plantation and saw how the boys grew up. That was the biggest thing.
Goodness.
How little they were.
Yeah. Little. And you know, I was looking at my face like, oh my goodness, I was such an innocent. Innocent, like, don't know what's ahead of me. Like, I was just like, so like.
I'm so ready to be your pastor.
So. Oh, by the way, my mom sent her greetings. My mom found out that you were leaving and she was like, said to tell you, she was so excited when I told her about your new position. She was, you remember my mom from my my grandfather's funeral, right?
Mm-hmm,
and she, you really made an impact on my family when you came and showed up. That was in the beginning of COVID too, when my grandfather
that was.
Passed away.
Yeah. That was just like 2 months into COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were right there for us as a family. So my mom and dad appreciates you, even though they're not members of Plantation.
Yeah. Oh, so thank you.
So it just shows that that is not just Plantation alone that you have affected while you were here in South Florida, but you affected other people in other churches, which is good, which is always. A great thing when you can be a pastor of one church, but you're not just a pastor of Plantation, you're a pastor of South Florida. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. and now, you know, I know that.
And our listeners cannot see what's happening. Should we tell them
we're all right now?
Right. And now that has prepared you for being the at the conference.
Yep.
And we're excited. And myself and Dawn, we're looking forward to working with you on some projects.
We're going to work with you up there. Absolutely.
We have some projects in mind.
Yeah.
So we're excited. Whoa. We're excited about the new journey that we're going to be taking.
And I know Dawn does a questioning. Can I ask just one question?
Sure. I told you, you get to go first.
Are they going to have a like an installation, like a special ceremony for you to get where all people, if we can come? No, you just start working.
Oh no, I started working, you know, practically a month ago. Like, so no, I was introduced to the conference staff last Monday, and a couple weeks before that, I had my first directors meeting, and a couple weeks before that, I had meetings with my team. So it's just been a lot of go. So.
Yep.
It's good.
All right. So one more and I'll finish up. Gonna miss the boys. They were an integral part of the film ministry.
And
the media ministry and all and a bunch of other ministries. Amanda and the boys, man, they were always involved in all of the ministries. They touch all the ministries.
Right.
And I know there's gonna be a big void at Plantation. With the boys and with Armando. So, but God is taking you guys to the next level, and we're excited for you and your family, and from my family to yours, man. Mm. You know, until we meet again and do some projects.
Yeah.
All right.
Love you too.
Okay. All right.
And I'm glad, Collins, because I did not mention Armando before. And I was telling you, I think I was talking to you a few weeks ago, that story that I'm going to share right now, I think describes Armando. When you were preaching a few weeks ago and you were sick, that was after you were sick with the flu or whatever you had.
When I had a man voice?
Not talk. And you're preaching, but you know, your voice is sore. And you said, please tell Armando to bring me a bottle of water. And the second you said that, the man was just, I mean, it was just like cruising with that bottle. He was ready. And Edward said, he's such a good soldier. And that's Armando. He's like such a servant. He's always there with a smile, always serving. So I know they say, behind every great man, there's a great woman. Well, I will say today, beside every great woman, there's a great man. And I think Armando.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And yes, amen for that. That's a blessing.
All right. Okay, is everybody finished now?
Yeah, we know it's getting late on the East Coast, man, so we got to speed it up.
Exactly.
I'm good.
All right. So, Pastor Jan, it's my turn now.
Yeah.
I have to interview you about the sermon because, I mean, I'm expecting, you said it was going to be epic. So I was thinking, okay, so what is she going to preach about for the last time? And you went through your whole story. So how did you decide that's what you were going to preach about?
But that's the thing. I wanted it to be epic and I didn't know what epic was. But I wanted a sermon that was going to impart hope, that was going to encourage, you know, Plantation to grow bigger, grow better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the connection Sabbaths happening and people telling me much like how you are, you know, right now. Oh, it's going to happen. You guys are going to leave a void. And I didn't. I wanted a message that would like obliterate all that unknown. Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. and so I didn't know what epic was. And I'll be honest, up until 2 a.m. Sabbath morning, I was writing and discarding and writing and discarding because nothing. I felt as if I had nothing. But what has been going through my mind over and over was that song by Steve Green, Find Us Faithful. Mm-hmm. The one that I ended up singing at the end. Yes. Yes, right. Yes, and yes. And I was in such a turmoil that I called my mentor and I said, I have nothing. I have nothing for my church. And mm-hmm. she's like, what do you mean? You never have nothing. And I said, I am emptied out. I have nothing. I don't even know what to preach about. And she's like, what have you been thinking about this whole time? And I said, this one song, you know, Find Us Faithful, that we are the ones who are trailblazing for Christ, who are running this crazy race. And mm-hmm. I don't know what to make of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to present that. And she goes, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? And I said, my life. My life comes to my mind, especially this position that just comes up, you know, out of the clear blue sky. And how do I deal with it? And I just think how amazing God is in his faithfulness toward us, that you look at the life that I've had, that we've led, and here we are. And my mentor goes, then tell it. So I said, no. And she's like, why not? And I said, because everybody has heard this sermon. Everybody has heard pieces of this sermon.
It's true. It's true. Yes.
And so now it's just going to be the sermon about, oh, well,
we heard that already.
We've heard this already. This is not interesting anymore. And how do we see God through this? And so I don't want to say this sermon. And she goes, but if this is the one that God has been putting on your heart, you just can't run from it. And this is why you can't write it, because you already know it. And she said, stop writing. I said, stop writing. And she goes, give me bam, bam, bam. What are your texts? So I told her the text and she's like, and give me the one sentence per text per your life. And I told her, she goes, I'm sorry, but that song and these texts, this is exactly what you're supposed to say, because God is telling you to tell the church how you have found him faithful through everything.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting there like, what? And she said, she goes, let me tell you something. I know your whole life, but even when I tune in to preach, and she mentioned a Sabbath that I preached online, I don't even remember when, she goes, and I sat there in tears because I had heard parts of it, but I hadn't heard other parts of it. And then you reveal it. And I am just like, oh my goodness, that just happened. And God made a way. And she goes, I'm sitting in front of my phone and I am crying even though I've only heard one or two parts of it, but I didn't connect it with the rest that you just said. So what I'm telling you, Jen, is if this is what God has placed and you cannot move past this, then this is what it's going to be. And I said, but it's not going to be epic. And she said, who says? She goes, it's going to be epic for God. Yeah. And I said, okay, all right. And that is how I came up with what came out.
Yeah. Wow. Did you ever think that when you were told so long ago, as you said in your story, when you were sitting there at that Women of Faith conference, that now you would have an opportunity to reach lives that way?
No. No, and let me tell you, I was afraid. I never thought it, because at that point, one of the first things that came to mind, apart from singing, like I thought, well, I'm going to be some great, you know, worship leader, singer somewhere out there. You know, I always loved Joyce Meyer, you know, those back in the day that were the greats, you know, Joyce Meyer, author, Stormy or Marsha. And I thought, could I be a Joyce Meyer? But because you're a girl and because you're told that even Adventists don't have that, and you're a woman, they don't have that. This is not the arena of speaking is not what we do. Right? We're more toward evangelizing and ADRA and helping in the community, et cetera. Yep. So yep. My head dabbled in that. Like, could it be? So my question to God in those teenage years was, is it that? Is it a speaker for thousands of people, for hundreds of people? And it was like a secret, unspoken vision for me. And then all those things happened, you know, in my life, you know, public shame, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember, and even preaching went away, even until I had my, you know, my last shot. I'd preach here and there, right? But, and I remember, I think I told you, you know, I was at a retreat and I had Joshua there with me, and some lady was holding him. And I was being given a very quick chair massage. And I was asked, what are your dreams? And, I said, I'd like to become a preacher. And like what you're doing here now at church. I said, and I didn't want to speak. And she said, tell me what is on your heart, the vision that you see. And I told her about this 13-year-old me at this convention for Women of Faith. And I said, I see this. And she said, I promise you, Jen, if that is what God has put in your heart from a very young age, that you're going to do something in that capacity. And you will preach, whether it's, we don't know what you're going to preach to, but you will be a preacher. And years later, five years later, I ended up being a speaker at their retreat. And it was my first year as a pastor. And their introduction to me was, majority knew me because that was my old church in Seattle. But their introduction was, and this is Pastor Jen, the one who sat crying in this room years ago saying that she wanted to be a pastor. And now here she is.
Wow.
And then do you remember this conversation that you and I had at Plantation, right? I forgot how you got on it, but I shared with you that vision. And the thing is, you know, I become afraid of, and I don't know why, of speaking the vision, because it's so grand even to your own ears. You feel as if you are bragging about something that God has not done yet, or perhaps people will look at you and think that you're full of yourself.
Yeah.
you know? Yeah. And so when I told you about that vision and you said, Pastor Jen, I don't know even what you're doing here.
Yep.
You said something along those lines.
I said, I always wondered, why did you come here in the first place? Mm-hmm. What is your purpose to come here in the first place? You kind of looked at me like,
to pastor?
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's like, isn't it obvious? And I'm like, no, I just wanted to know why you would come here. Because it always, when you first came, I was like, okay, it's the first female pastor and she's coming to Plantation and oh my goodness. Okay. So is this a kind of like a test to see how we would react to you being there? But then I looked at you and you have your family and I was like, yeah, no, there's something else. Why is she here at this moment, at this time? And I know you got a lot of mixed reviews when you first came. Some people loved it. Some people didn't like it. Some people left and a lot of people stayed. And I was like, okay.
And somewhere on the fence.
Yep. And they're like, okay, let's see what she's going to do. And then you started talking and then you started sharing and everything. And I just like, no, to me, there was always something bigger. So when you said that, I was like, that's what it is. She's in training ground here. She's training for the next thing. It's the next thing that she has to do, but she has to come to Plantation so she understands what that truly looks like. So.
And that's what I mean. When I think of, you know, so when I'm thinking of the thought of arena, because that's where God spoke, coming to Plantation, I believe, oh, this is it. Because, you know, I was never, because I never expected, you know, I didn't know that our media was so good, you know, as it is. I'm sorry, listeners. I mean, as in that we do so much on, the media, online. Right? Yeah. And so when I'm thinking, so I honestly thought when you said that, I thought, I get it. This is, Lord, I get it. This is my arena because I have my church and I'm on YouTube forever and ever.
There you go.
To whoever is watching, you know, how many views we get per week, maybe 1,000 or so. So I'm thinking, this is my arena and I'm good with it. I'm happy with it. So now you're asking, go back to that question of what was the first question? Did you ever think that
you would be in that capacity when you saw yourself from before as a teenager?
And no, I did not think, because now it's just kind of like the shock, like, oh, you want me to preach to them, all people, but now them, women, all women, you know, and I know I'm not saying much because I'm still mind boggled by it. You know, I don't know how to. Yeah.
But you see, your stories reach women that way because they're the stories that probably women are going through, but are too scared to share. And now they see you go up there and you share it publicly in front of everybody. And some women don't like it. I'll be honest with you. I've heard some women say, what's she going up there and talking like that for? And then you have another set of women that I got. Finally, somebody's talking about something that's happened to me. And they're showing me that, just like Cassandra was saying before, okay, I don't need to worry about this. I need to give this still to God. And there is hope for me. You know, now you're showing people that, you know, this has happened, and I'm not scared to tell you this is what happened, but this is what God has done for me during this time. You know? And I think it's perfect. It's a perfect arena to do it, because a lot of women, I see it all the time. It's so very interesting. A lot of women, they don't want to because it's shameful. Things that have happened to them, the things they've done are so shameful and they're so embarrassed that they just don't want to have anybody know that. So they live with these things for so long, years and years and years and years and years, and they never get over it. They never know how to bring this to God, because I'm so embarrassed by it. I know God maybe has forgiven me, but I don't know, you know?
That's right.
So I think it's great. I see how this can really help so many more women. just your position being up there? Because now you see, I look at the conference. Let me not speak for anybody else. I look at the conference like, okay, we're the Florida conference, you know, we do things a certain way. And this is how you go up to the Florida conference. It's like, yes, I'm at the Florida conference, but guess what? I have all of this behind me and I understand what this means and I'm ready to share and I'm ready to put my hands in and help one-on-one with women that really need that touch, that understands the whole situation without it being a Florida conference thing and a conference thing. It's a people thing. It's a people being reached in a different way, you know? So it's going to be,
you know,
it's going to be great.
So I don't know if I should share this, but I don't think I'm throwing anything under the bus here. My interview for this position, you know, I was, you know, of course you have an overall interview and then they'll tell you, you know, if you get called, that means you're the final participant. Right. And then your name goes to the committee, the executive committee to vote. Right. So I went to, I was very surprised that I honestly can tell you, I still was surprised that I was the final interviewee called to now go be in front of the administrative committee. And I walk in, sat right next to Elder Machado, and him on my, because that was a seat I was directed into, him on my right, you know, and Elder Goff, executive secretary, on my left, and our treasurer right next to Elder Machado. And then we have our ministerial director and all ADCOM, right? And my resume is out in front of them. All of them have a resume. And there's, you know, the rest of the ADCOM committee. And my picture, you know, the way I gave my resume was one pager on the front. And then the second page was just a picture and a short about me blurb with references. And they all had it. And Elder Machado just turned to me and, you know, hello to everybody. We start with prayer. And then he just said, hey, I want you to tell, we know you. We know you. You're one of our pastors. But I would just like you to introduce yourself and tell us about yourself. Dawn, I kid you not. I was on my way that morning as I was dressing and making sure that everything is tucked in and everything is kosher. And, you know, I'm like, okay, this is as ready as I will ever get, ever be. And as I got into the car and started driving, and I'm praying as I have been praying. So you think you're praying. I mean, it's not the, when we pray, we think of we're always falling on our knees, but because we pray so often, we don't technically not always on our knees. We can just be praying as we're walking around a store. It's like a conversational prayer that to you, you're not praying, but you know, you're just talking to God. Right. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, Lord, as I'm driving along. All right, Lord, I'm here. We am driving. Keep me safe. And God's talking to me. Be prepared to tell your testimony. And I said, don't I always? All right. You know, it's not occurring to me what God is telling me to be prepared for. And be prepared to tell your testimony. And second time he repeats it. Oh, yeah, God, I got it. I'm turning into the conference and I park. And he's like, I said, be prepared to tell your testimony today. And I thought, oh, that testimony? Not that testimony. You know, and he's like, be prepared. So now here I am, you fast forward, and now Mr. President is telling me to tell everyone about myself. And cool. I start off, you know, as you all heard, you know, birth and preaching and miracle baby singing and God leading my life and baptism and even this calling. And, you know, I told them how I grew up with my mother in women's ministries. And she taking me to everything women's ministries related. And then now here I'm at this conference and God is calling. And I begin preaching and preaching and preaching through high school. And I'm going to pastoral ministry. And Dawn, I'm listening to these words come just out of my mouth. Right. And it's a, and I take a pause. And then here I am telling them the rest of the testimony. And I remember pausing and I said, now and I was going to skip. I was going to skip the crucial part of my testimony, which would outline my own decision and public humiliation. And I can hear my mother saying, don't do it. And on the other hand, I cannot stop the words from coming out of my mouth because I'm saying, well, the next part that I'm about to say, I don't usually say because I have compartmentalized. I know how to compartmentalize my testimony for different audiences who are able to accept different things. However, you know what? YouTube, it's already on YouTube from several different churches here in South Florida, and it is forever on our plantation website. And so therefore, I could just hear it. And so I need to tell you about my fall from grace. Mm-hmm. And this testimony comes out. And the craziest thing is, normally in this time, I remember my ordination interview, but we have to be interviewed before ordination, make sure we're ready to be ordained, right? Mm-hmm. I remember my ordination interview and I'm sitting next to Armando and I am trembling under the table up here from I don't know, breast high up above and everyone can see you, but under the table. My hands are shaking. My knees are knocking together. Armando has to grab my knee and hold, squeeze my hand and just visibly make me calm down. Right. Wow. While I'm in the middle, being interviewed by all of these ministerial secretaries. You fast forward now to that day in front of AdCom and I'm telling my testimony and clear as mud as day. I am just sitting here, just looking around as I'm talking and the testimony is coming out and everybody is just, the room is silent and they are listening. Like you could hear a pin drop because they know what I'm saying is something that people don't normally say, mm-hmm. but I'm saying it, right? And there is no fear in me, Dawn. I'm talking, I am just talking like I'm talking to you right now, very measured. And this is what God did. And this is what I did. And, this is what happened. And I got pregnant and da, da, da. And I'm just, I can hear it. You are killing yourself. You are shooting this job right out from under you. What are you doing? Oh my goodness. And I'm even myself, I'm telling myself, just shut your mouth and be quiet. What are you doing? And it just keeps on going, Dawn. And I'm like, there it is. And so, here I am today, et cetera, et cetera. And then I said something like, I know, I don't even know where that all came from, everyone. I'm not entirely sure why it has come out today, but I'll tell you something. God told me to say it, and I'm saying it, and my mother is going to call me. And in fact, I think she's calling me right now because I can hear my phone going off on Vibe, and she's going to ask me what I said today, and I'm going to tell you, and she just might, give herself her own heart attack there. But you know what? And what I said was, this story was always meant, I had intended it as a young person, from a young person, as a 20-year-old to a 21-year-old, as to the youth, the story was meant to say for them, always for them in the beginning, don't do what I did. Be intimate with God. Don't hide from God, et cetera, et cetera. This was meant for them to keep the youth out of trouble. But what I have found is that this story is for broken women. Yes. This story is for the redemption of women to let them know that God is alive and able to repair and do and just make miracles out of broken lives. And this is why I'm telling this to you because I believe that by being vulnerable to you and being vulnerable to the women of Florida that God is calling me to serve, that we're going to be able to bring more women closer to him before he comes.
Amen.
I tell you, and I'm sitting there like, what did I just do? And thank you so much. Yes, you are right. Give us just a few moments to pray and deliberate. You know, and okay, no problem. This is something, it's some a few other things, you know, like, yes, this is exactly what you should be doing. You should be doing this because a lot of women need healing, but they're afraid to talk about the brokenness in their lives. And so, you know, I left the room and I didn't know what to do with myself because now the reality set in, like, what did I just do? And I went to go sit where I had previously been sitting. I pull up my phone and I pull up a video game. It's this matching toy game that you just try to match all the toys, right? Because I'm just like, I'm like this nervous wreck, like, okay, calm down, you know, and, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes later, you know, our executive secretary comes I still remember the words that came out of my mouth. He goes, all right, Jennifer, you know, we're ready for you. And I'm like, oh man, I'm winning. Like, I'm winning my oh my word, what are you doing? What are you doing, Jen? And so he turns around and he's like, and I'm walking back to the room with this phone in my hand, still playing this video game. I am a nervous wreck now because I realized that I just shoot myself in the foot. And I'm like, oh, I'm winning. And he's like, he turned around, he puts his hand on my shoulder. He's like, Pastor Jennifer, you are definitely winning today.
Oh.
You know, and I'm just like, what? Okay. You know, And you know, I went back in, not knowing, and they're all smiling, and they said, your name, we have decided to bring your name to the executive committee as our new women's ministry director. And even there, I was still shocked. You know, I'm like, I think a squeak came out and I kind of like nudged the president, like, you know, there was nothing. I was like, what? And then you know, they prayed for me. And after that, and then I have a friend who was on the ad com, and this friend called to congratulate me later. And I said, listen, I wasn't expecting to do that. And they go, yeah, we know. I know. And I said, was that over the top? Should that not even been said? Because, you know, did you look at the reactions of anyone? Because I know I was focusing on you, but I don't remember. I don't even know what the reactions were. And the friend said, no, your testimony is what sold you.
Yep.
And I thought, you know, so.
Wow.
I don't know. Vulnerability has its good. And it's crazy, right? You know?
Yeah. Wow. Well, I know I will be seeing you again, so I don't have to worry about that. So I'm not sad to see you go. I'm excited because of your new position. And I told you that from the get-go when I first heard that, you know, yeah, this is it. This is the next step. And it just made very much sense to me when I hear that that was what was going to happen to you. So congratulations again.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to doing some stuff with you. As Colin said, we are looking forward to doing some really amazing work together. And I just know it's going to be a blessing for you up there. It's the new phase. Don't be scared of it. Go for it. And just let God lead, as you've allowed God lead to lead you all this time up to this point. I don't think that if you continue listening to him, you're going to be fine. You're going to be just fine. And you don't know how many people you're going to reach and what that reach is going to look like. You're just
going to be so scary. No, I think that exactly that it's a scary, and this is why people always ask me, how do you feel? You've been promoted. And I know I know they're expecting me to be like, woohoo! And I am, but it's just this overwhelming feeling of responsibility. And I even asked God as I've been traveling back and forth last week and this week, and it is tiring, like driving back and forth, Orlando back and meetings.
Yeah.
And I even asked God several times, God, are you sure, God?
Are you sure?
I mean, are you sure? Can I really? I'm driving at like 80 miles an hour, and I'm like, really? I am so exhausted, Lord, but is this, am I going to be effective? Am I really going to be impactful? Why? Why did you choose me?
Yeah.
You know, and it's so humbling. It's scary and it's humbling, but it's just so awesome.
Amen. Amen.
You know, to know that somehow God sees me at this moment in time as his vessel for this particular role.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And it just boggles the mind.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
So let me ask you, Dawn. Wait, let me ask you. So was it the same sermon that you've heard?
No, it wasn't. Because when you first started, I was like, oh, she's going to tell her testimony, but it's going to be something else. So then, yes, I know every single part of every single thing that I heard. However, the whole theme of it, as you said, is how God has always been faithful, regardless of what you went through. And so as you go from one thing to the next, you start to see, okay, when it looks like it's really, really awful and this could never work out, God just steps in right there. That's usually what happens. It's usually at the very last moment when you think, it's never going to work. And God, like, for example, when you were coming to Plantation and then you're holding Amando and you don't know if he's even going to wake up, it's like, why would that happen the day before you're supposed to travel to come here? Why would that happen? Mm-hmm. And then you see Amando wake up. It's like, okay. But then you see your struggle during that time where God is telling you, are you giving me everything? Are you giving me everything? And it's like, that's our struggle. That's how we all are supposed to struggle with God. We're supposed to say, you know, okay, God allows this to happen. We think, oh yeah, wow, I got this. Like you're now got this new position. Woo! Does that mean that all your troubles are over?
No.
No, they're just gonna be different now. They're just gonna be different. And then it comes back. Are you gonna depend upon God every moment as you go through the next thing?
That's true.
That's the journey.
And it was amazing when I still sit, you know, and I just remember last year's sermon when I said, man, I lost my doctorate. I was told I can't do this right now, you know, get my affairs in order. Too many things are happening in your life. No, you don't. You don't, we're not, you know, taking away from you completely, but you have to start over from scratch, you know, from everything you've done 2 years, you know, goodbye. And and you might even have to start a whole nother discipline or something. And, you know, that was such a, everything of last year, that was the culmination of loss for me.
Yeah.
Because I had lost, I felt like I kept on losing. And this is the one thing that I had that I barely had my fingertips on, barely like holding on to it. But, you know, after the deaths and hospitalizations and COVID and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm fighting for this one thing, like, Lord, just let my children see one thing good from this tragedy, just one thing good that you can still redeem this one thing, my education. And even in my letters to the professors, please, I've had so much loss. And now that I think about it, it's kind of pathetic even on my point. But I was being truthful, like, I've had so much loss. Don't let me lose this one thing, this one thing that I need my children to see that God is still working even on the tiniest dream, and it's taken.
Yep.
And that got me so angry for just a couple weeks, just everything. I just felt it lost. Like, wow, this year has been a bomb. I've just lost everything. I don't even know what to say. People are like, how's your doctorate? And I look at them like, really? And I see my classmates because we're still in the same chats. Oh, I finished chapter two. I finished chapter three. And I don't say nothing. How are you doing, Jen? And I don't say nothing. And then now to come to this realization after God has given me this position that, no, I don't want you to, I don't want, I never wanted you to center on just this group of women from Plantation on how to build, equip women for leadership. Because it wouldn't have been, when you think of research terms, it wouldn't have been a full subject, a viable research subject, because it's just for not large enough pool. Mm-mm. And now he just opened my eyes like, here is your pool. The state of Florida is your pool of cultures and different women that you need to figure out this program on how to equip. And I'm just like, and you think, if you would have told me, just to calm my heart, even to take away that bitter, but then God's not going to tell you because he wants you to see the things that come out only purely from his glory, that only he could do. And I'm just, I sit here and thinking, Lord Jesus, you are just amazing.
Amazing.
Because I would never have seen any of this, Nope. You tell me that a year ago, a year on, I would never have seen what today would be.
Of course. Of course, you would think, well, you have to get the PhD first and then you can,
And then boom, there it is.
Because that's the way our minds work. God's mind doesn't work that way, though.
No, it doesn't. God's like, I can do everything backwards. Backwards for my glory, let me show you what I can do. Mm-hmm. And so, that's what I mean. God's hence that sermon. I mean, faithful to the end, because, God never ends with us, but just continuously faithful.
Continual faithfulness. Yep. Well, it's been wonderful chatting with you, Pastor Jenny. I can chat with you forever.
I know.
But we got to wrap it up. So as we wrap up, just congratulations again. I know we're going to probably see you again. Hopefully you'll come and visit us and preach again at Plantation. And then, of course, we get to do the podcast again in a different capacity.
Excellent. Yes.
All right. So as we end, can you wrap us up with a word of prayer, please?
All right. Father God, what a privilege it has been to serve your Plantation, Seventh-day Adventist Church. Father, I always say my church, but no, Father, it is your church. And what a privilege it has been to, and honestly, Lord, what a privilege it has been to experience the trials of this journey, for without the trials of this journey, I would not be able to see fully how great of a God you are, and truly experience your faithfulness in my life and the life of my family. And Father, it is only my prayer, Lord, that you draw close to my brothers and sisters, Father, as they look for a new executive pastor, Father, that their hearts, and I know as much as we're going to miss them, and even though we're only 3 hours away, and as much as we're going to miss them and they miss us, Father, I know, Lord, that you have leaders in mind and you have brought Pastor Rose and whomever else you are going to put in place as the new associates and plural, Father. I know, Lord, that they are going to do wonders for your church because you're the one that's picking them and placing them, Father. And so, Father, I just ask that you be in this selection process right now, Father, that you be with the hearts of my family at Plantation, and Lord, that whomever it is that you bring, Father, will bring joy to your service, Father, that they will be able to unite together in the work that is to be done for you and your very soon coming, Father. And God, be with Pastor Rose, Lord, you know, as he leads Plantation, Father, give him the insight and the wisdom, Father, to lead this family, Father, as well as the pastors you are bringing alongside him. Father, may Plantation be your hands and feet. May they become even more united, Father, and may they connect as we have been longing to do in these last few years, Father. And now that our church has opened up, fully opened up, Father, may the connections be made, Father, and may lives be changed as they seek, Lord, to show you to those who don't know you, Father. Mm-hmm. Lord, may we always see your presence, your ever faithful presence in our lives, even though it may be hard because of our own humanness, Father. But may we always, as we look back and as we presently look at how you are working and leading, may we always know how faithful you are to us and how much you love us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. For this opportunity to serve you in this capacity as their pastor for the last 4.5 years. What a wonderful, wonderful family you gave me to be instilled into my DNA. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Jen. And we'll see you soon. Yes, and to all our podcast listeners, we thank you again for always choosing PlantationSDA.org. And remember that you can always find Deeper Dive on all the podcast channels. And we look forward to seeing you all soon next time when we come on Deeper Dive. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.